So anyway, those are my two announcements. Are you ready to rock and roll this morning? Let's see your Bibles. One more time. Let's see your Bibles. All right, let's see your pens. See your bulletins. All right, let's turn the bulletins. Get a pen. Hey, let's give blood today. We got 50. They could take 50. Do you give a pint? One pint, right? If you want to give two, you could do that. They get, take it all. If you want to give a pint of blood, they can only refrigerate 50 pints. And I don't know how many they got this morning, but let's give them all they can get, okay? People need blood. Luke 19. Luke. And let me say this before I start. If any of you ever get any discovery facts, neat scientific facts, please put them on a piece of paper and give them to me. Email them to my office. Anything that's scientific, God's creation, Discovery Channel stuff, I love it. As you can tell, I was talking to a doctor the other day, a neonatal doctor. I met him for the first time. Neat guy, takes care of little babies. And we were talking about stuff, twins, quadruplets. And I says, tell me how a twin is made. And, you know, when the sperm meets the egg, the DNA is in the sperm and the DNA is in the egg. And when they unite, the two DNAs merge. And then when the egg splits, a copy of the DNA goes in each egg. We were talking about that stuff. And so obviously I started asking all kind of questions. And he was telling me, and this has nothing to do with my sermon, I'm just rambling right now. He was telling me that our body has, how can I say this without you getting the wrong impression? Inside our body, transfers information through our blood. Hormones transfer, a lot of hormones transfer through your blood. And I said to him, he said, some hormones aren't in your blood. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, the body communicates through tissue. And a cell in your body can emit a gas that goes through your tissue to another cell to tell that cell what to do. Isn't that amazing? That's it. That's it. I just thought that was amazing. I just wanted to share that with you. I had to get it off my chest. It didn't have anything to do with my sermons, but I just wanted to say it. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you're good to us. And I thank you for this church. And I thank you we can come here and learn about you and enjoy you. And I pray we all do have fun at church. I pray that we can come here and allow you to fill our heart with your joy. I thank you that you created laughter. I thank you that you gave us muscles that help us smile. I thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a movie a long time ago, Outer Limits or Twilight Zone. It was one of those two where these Martians came down and they had this big book. Remember those guys? They were big heads and they were like 9 feet tall and they didn't talk. I don't think they had a mouth, but they had a book and it was in this code and it took the humans, you know, all these people trying to break the code, and it was a menu. It was a menu for them to eat humans. When they realized it was too late, we had already gotten on the ship. We were going up to space to see them, and it was like, no, they're gonna eat us. They're just gonna boil us or whatever it was. Well, I want you to imagine if an angel came down to Earth with a message, and the message was, Jesus Himself is gonna be at the L.A. Coliseum. Okay, let's say Qualcomm, since it's here. Qualcomm, on March 25th, imagine who would come. Everybody. CNN, ESPN, NBC, ABC, CBS, the Family Channel. It'd be worse than the OJ trial. They would have helicopters, the news people, all the religious leaders from around the world. The Pope would be there. The Taliban, Mullah Omar may come out of hiding to come. Bin Laden would come. Everybody would come to see Jesus, okay? Jesus would be like on the 50-yard line, kind of hovering over, you know, about this high off the ground, just waving everybody, you know, doing the Pope wave. This is where the Pope got it. He'd be waving everybody like that. Place would be packed. They'd have helicopters? The helicopters, they're coming already. They'd have satellite dishes all around, Qualcomm outside. Common folk like me and you wouldn't be able to get in. The question, though, wouldn't be who would want to see Jesus. The question would be, who would Jesus want to see? We'll break it down now. He'd be like, oh, y'all are hypocrites. Y'all don't need to talk to y'all. Y'all are scamming. Y'all are just trying to, you know, rip the people off. Y'all. And there'd be somebody in the crowd. Now, if I was there, if I happened to get in, and I would try, I would want Jesus to see me. I would want him to pick me out of the crowd and want to talk to me. Now, you may think that's selfish, egotistical. That don't matter. That's what I would feel. I would want him to say, you, I want to talk to you. Wouldn't you want him to say that to you? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Okay. In this story we're going to look at, Jesus is walking through the crowd, through a city, and all these people are mobbing him. And he picks one guy out of the crowd, and the one guy he picks out of the crowd is the most hated guy. Why? We're going to look at four criteria for you to be that guy or that girl. Or that guy, girl. You're a girl, but you're really the guy in the story. Okay, let's read the story. Luke 19. It says, 19:1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, because he was a short guy. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, haw, 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 haw. He's going to be the guest with a man who's a sinner. Haw, 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 haw. And Jesus stood. The fofo is in the Hebrew, original Hebrew. So you don't know that because you're not educated like I am. I'm only kidding. I don't know any Hebrew except shalom. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Jesus said, Today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Now, very simple story. Jesus is walking through the town. People are mobbing him. This is a very busy city. A lot of shops, a lot of roads from different places merge in Jericho. So this crowded city. Jesus comes into the city. People are mobbing him. And you have this man named Zacchaeus. The Bible says he was a chief tax collector. Tax collectors were hated by everybody because if you owed the government $10, the tax collector could take 20, give 10 to the government, and keep 10. They worked for the Roman government. The Roman government didn't care. They weren't regulated. You know, they didn't have a Better Business Bureau, nothing like that. The Roman government, all they cared about was getting your money. So if the tax collectors could rip you off and get away with it, it didn't matter. So everybody hated the tax collectors. It was legal to lie to a tax collector. It was legal to prevent them from coming to church. They were hated like drug dealers, and, you know, everyone hated them. This says that he was a chief tax collector. So just imagine he was in Amway. Nothing wrong with Amway. I have very many friends in Amway that I love. Amway is a great legitimate business. So please don't read anything into this. The only reason I pick Amway is because all of us know Amway. If he was an Amway, he'd be a triple, double, diamond, emerald, chief crown guy. He'd have all this downline. Are you with me? There's nothing wrong with Amway. I love Amway. I have Amway products. But if he was an Amway guy, and if his, he would be a triple diamond crown emerald, and because his business, Zacchaeus, is illegitimate and was a crook, but Amway is not. am I cool? Can I stop? Okay, am I going to get any letters? Okay, now, he was hated. So he not only was crooked, but he had all these crooks working for him, unlike Amway. I'm doing that because people here, I just want to make sure that I'm not trying to say anything against Amway. It says, behold, there was a man, verse 2, named Zacchaeus, who was a chief triple diamond emerald tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. The Bible first says that he wanted to see Jesus. Now, he had heard about Jesus. Jesus raised the dead, healed the blind, healed lepers, cast out demons. He cast out demons by speaking. If you remember the movie Exorcist, the priest, that brother was up and down those stairs, throwing water, got thrown out the window, puked on. Jesus would just say, be gone. And demons would go, ow, 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 ow. Jesus walked on water. He stopped the storm. He did all these amazing, miraculous, loving things. Loved the unlovable, touched the untouchable, healed people no one wanted to touch, loved people no one wanted to love, forgave people no one wanted to forgive. And so he had this reputation of being very different. Loving, amazing, Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, the Son of God. So everybody wanted to see him, rightfully so. That's why if he came today, everyone would want to see him, rightfully so. That's why we come to church, because we want to experience him. We want his love. We want his forgiveness. And so here's Zacchaeus, no different, saying, I want to see him. I have to assume that you want to see God, that you want to experience God. I would have to assume that's why you're here. A friend of mine was at he has a nativity thing at his church during Christmas. Someone came to the nativity, and of course, in the nativity, they talk about baby Jesus being born in the manger, the savior of the world, blah, 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 blah. And someone came and got offended. How do you get offended going to a church that's Christian when they're saying Christian things? Duh, why did you go? So I would assume that you have come to church because you assumed that God, you may experience God. Well, you have to really, really want it. You have to more than just come and show up. You have to come and say, Lord, I want to experience you. I want you to forgive me. I want you to restore me. I want you to help my relationship with my wife, my husband, my family, my job, my finances, my mental issues, my emotional issues, my spiritual issues, my physical issues. I want you to help me with everything. You have to want that. And if you're saved, not saved, you have to want him to forgive you. If you are saved, I want to challenge you to want more. How many of you were here last week? Okay, if you weren't here last week, you need to go inside the bookstore and get the tape from last week. It was one of my favorite sermons, not because I was good. I'm not implying that at all. Even though the subject matter was good. We were talking about living in woo land. How many of y'all had a woo week? Brother, I had a woo week. I mean, it was almost like Mr. Ed Woo Wilbur. It was amazing. But you have to say, Lord, I'm saved, but I want to live in woo land. So you have to be like Zacchaeus. I want to see this man. I want to experience this man, and I want more of him than what I have today. Look what it says in verse 3. The Bible says he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, because he was a little guy. So here's this little guy, here's the little guy trying to see him. Where's he at? And no one liked him. So they're like, get out of here, Zacchaeus. I'm just putting my own thing in here now. They don't say that, but they wouldn't let him in front. If they liked him, they would, oh, come up here, little man. Go ahead. But the Bible says that he couldn't see because he was little. We know he was hated. So I can assume for me that they wouldn't let him up front. So he's like, you know, let me see that. Nah, we don't like you. What's getting in your way? What is stopping you from praying more? What's stopping you from trusting God more? What's stopping you from reading your Bible more? What's stopping you from serving more? What's stopping you from giving more? What's stopping you from loving more? You.
you. Pride. Some people say, well, I can't get saved because I got too many problems. That's why you get saved. Well, I can't get saved because I don't need God. I have everything I need. That's why you need to get saved. So you can realize that you don't have everything you need and God can bless you more. And sometimes he might bless you by taking what you have to show you that what you think you have is not as good as you think it is. But the point is, what's getting in your way from seeing God more clearly, experiencing God more powerfully, sensing him in your life more tangibly, physically, emotionally, hearing him more clearly? What? Pride. Well, Zacchaeus decided in his mind, look what he says, the Bible says in verse 4, that he was going to overcome that obstacle. First, you got to want him, then you got to seek him. The Bible says he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Look what he did. He's like this. Can't see him. I want him. I want to see him. I really need to see him. You know what? These people, let me think. He's walking down the road, and there's a tree over there. Let me think he's going to go by that tree. So he runs down and climbs up into the tree. Does that look funny? You know what? God's going to ask you to do stuff. It's going to look funny sometime. And you're going to say, I ain't doing that. I ain't getting embarrassed. You may be in the mall, Macy's, Nordstrom, Starbucks. And God may say to you, go pray for that person. Right there in the middle of the store. God, can we wait till we're out down the street in my car? No, do it right there, right now. You ever been someplace where God told you to do something like that? At least you thought and you rationalized that it couldn't have been God. But it was like God was asking you to do something. You're like, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Oh, okay. And you're like, why do I got to pray for him right there, right now? Why? Because you got a pride issue. And I'm going to deal with that. And they need prayer. When I was being discipled, the guy who discipled us, we were new Christians. Obviously, I just got saved. Learning how to pray, learning how to do this. And the guy who discipled me, he was, what's up, brother? He was a big dude, talk like a big dude. He said, Brother Miles, why don't you pray for us, brother? And I'm like, why I got to pray? And he says, because we need the prayer and you need to practice. So go ahead and pray. God will kill 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 stones, birds with one stone. So he might ask you to do something. You're like, why? You need to do it. If he wants you to climb to a tree, you climb the tree. If he wants you to go pray for somebody, you pray for somebody. If he wants you to lend your car to somebody, lend your car to somebody. Whatever he wants you to do, just do it. That's living in Wu-land. That's finding Christ. And you got to think, what do I got to do to see God? Well, I got to get up. I got to get dressed. I got to go to church. I got to get up. I got to go to a small group. I got to get up and pray. This morning, God woke me up at 6:20. I'm laying in bed thinking, why am I up? And don't you hate that? I mean, you got time to sleep. You're wide awake. It's dark outside. The bed is warm. And you have no reason to do anything but go to sleep. And you're like, God, I need to go to sleep. No, you have had enough sleep. Get up. I don't need to be anywhere. Yes, you need to be on your knees. Get out of your bed. No, God, I don't want to get up. Verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, hurry up. Come on down. Today I must stay at your house. Why did he pick Zacchaeus? Well, let's back up. Now he's walking through the crowd, blessing people. Bless you, my son. Bless you, my daughter. Heal you, be raised, be healed, speak, be mute, be see. You talk too much. Go ahead and get up. Demon, be gone. Boom, boom. You. I need to go to your house. Why? I was watching Discovery Channel the other, I don't know, it was years ago. This particular show, and they were showing how animals see. They had a snake at night snaking through the grass, and they had a little mouse eating. And it was pitch black. It was a cute little mouse, a little long tail, a little furry skin, little whiskers. And he was eating something, just crunching. And the snake couldn't see with his eyes, but what he saw was with his tongue, heat. And they showed the little mouse, and they made the mouse glow. Woo, woo. Because they wanted you to see what the snake sees, which is the heat in the body. Then they showed a dolphin in the water, and a dolphin see through, one of the ways they see is through magnetic fields in the water. So they superimpose computer-generated lines in the water to show the magnetic fields that the dolphin sees. Then they showed a bat. You ever hear blind as a bat? Well, the bats see by echolocation. They send out little radioactive radio waves. And they bounce the radio waves and the vibrations off things in front of them. So, matter of fact, if a bat was flying through here, he would go, and that, and he would, it would bounce off that speaker and come back to him and tell the bat how far away that was, so he would turn. That's how bats see. Isn't that amazing? So they're going, and they're hearing all this information is coming back to them, saying a branch, a leaf, a tree, a bat, and they're going like this, trying to dodge stuff. Well, when I was a kid, we had all these bats in my grandmother's yard. She lived up in the mountains, like 50 of them just flying around in front of the light. We were just shooting at them, boom, boom, boom. Okay, forget that part. But we were shooting at them. We would throw rocks up because they were flying around eating the bugs. So we would throw a rock up and see if they would eat the rock. They never did. But what they would do is the rock would go up and they would fly towards it and then they would turn away. And we're like, how do they know it's a rock? Well, what happens is when they send out their vibration, when it hits the rock, it goes out. And when it hits the rock, it comes back the same way it went out because rock is solid. It would go, and they would go, oh, it's solid. When it was a moth, because the wings were moving. When the yee went out, it would hit the wings and go yee, and it would come back all garbled. And then they would know it was wings, and they would eat it. Isn't that amazing? Now, do you know how I know that? I just made it all up. No, it's that's true. That's true. I saw it on TV. TV never lies. But that's true. That's how they do it. They can tell when their vibration hits something moving, the wings, they could tell it's an animal, and then they eat it. Now, what does that got to do with Zacchaeus? Animals don't see like people. God doesn't see like people. The Bible says that man looks at the outward, God looks at the heart. So as Jesus is walking through the crowd, he's like, yeah, I'm going to heal you, heal you, heal you. That guy, he wants me to see me. He needs repentance. He wants to repent. He's ready. He's been through a lot. He looks at your heart. He looks at all y'all's hearts. He knows all the stuff y'all been through. He knows all the stuff you're going through right now. He knows it. You may think, I'm going to look all good on Sunday. I'm going to look like I got my stuff together. I'm going to get my new Bible, put my name on Bible. That don't mean anything to God. I mean, it's nice you look good. It's nice that you think you look good. But God's looking at your heart. He knows the people in here that need to be saved. He knows the people in here who need to recommit their life to him. He knows the people in here who got issues they need to surrender. And he's calling you. Hey, I want to go stay at your house. Not your physical house, the house of your heart. You got to get out of it, climb into the tree. And you got to get out of your tree. Look what the Bible says in verse 6. So he made haste. He hurried on up and received him joyfully.
He was so happy. Man, God loves me. Those people might not love me, but God loves me. I'm going to tell you something. If you've grown up in a good family where your parents love you, forgave you, encouraged you, it may be that for you, it's easy to understand that God loves you. I know God loves me. Besides the fact that all the ways he's blessed me, I've always known he's loved me because I saw that in my family. Why wouldn't God love me? My dad loves me. My mom loves me. But what if my family didn't love me? What if they abused me? What if they left me? And that's a lot of people's experience. It's hard to understand how F-A-T-H-E-R could mean something good. But don't let your distortion of the word father because of what a human has done distort your idea of father in heaven. God loves you. And when Zacchaeus in the tree don't know his background other than he was a tax collector, when God said, come, I want to stay at your house, he was so happy. I'm so happy God loves me. I know he does, but I'm very happy he does. You need to be happy you have an opportunity to experience his love beyond what you could ever comprehend. It always gets better and better and better. I was on a plane one day witnessing to a stewardess, and for some reason we got into it right before the planes took off, right as soon as I got on the plane. And we're talking, and by time we took off, we had established the facts. She wasn't saved. She was living with a boyfriend and sleeping with a boyfriend, and that she needed to change her life. Plane takes off. So I took the whole trip to witness to her. You know, she would come over here and give me some juice, whatever it is. And I would, then she'd walk away and come back, walk away, come back. You know, she'd keep thinking. So by the end of the trip, she's now sitting next to me. And I said to her, do you want to be saved right now? And she jumps up out of her seat and sits back down and says, yes, let's do it right now. When God asks you, do you want to be well? You should say, yeah. You want to be saved? Yeah. You want to be forgiven and not go to hell? Yeah. Would you like to experience joy in your life, peace, patience? Would you like to have your mind renewed and your whole life reorganized the way I designed it to be? Yeah. You shouldn't have to hesitate. It's always better than what you got. And so when he says to Zacchaeus, let's go. Do you want to be well? He says, yeah. You remember the story when the Bible, Jesus asked the crippled man, 38 years, do you want to be well? You would think the brother would say, of course. No. He got to make things complicated. I don't have anyone to help me. I don't have anyone to help me. That's not what I asked you. Do you want to be well or not? You know what? I want to pray and see things happen. Yes or no? I want that. I want to read the Bible and understand what it says. I want that. I want to be able to be used by God to save millions of people. Not a lot. Not 100. Not 100,000. Millions. This is me talking. I want that. You got to decide what you want from God. You got to decide what the Bible promises you can have from God. And say, God, what do I got to do? Well, that's what he's saying to Zacchaeus. Do you want, can I come to your house? Can I hook you up? He says, yes. Look what the Bible says in verse 7. It says, when the crowd saw it, Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house, the hated man. It's like Jesus coming to Qualcomm and his 5 million dignitaries, presidents, princes, princesses, kings, prime ministers. And Jesus goes home with the guy that cuts the grass. Why is he going with his house? He don't have a limo. Verse 7. When they saw Jesus go home with the guy who cuts the grass, they all complain, saying, it's my Hebrew. He's going to be the guest with a man who's a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. If I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. You know what the Bible says, actually, in two verses later, that the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost? Watch this. Who's lost? Anybody sinners over there? I want to help you. Anybody depressed? I want to help you. Anybody lost?
You're just going to hell. You're confused. You're addicted. You're suicidal. Your marriage is falling apart. I want to help you. Anybody who thinks they don't need me, I don't want to help you. You go ahead and be by yourself. But anybody who wants help, I want to help you. That's what the Bible says. That's what God's doing like this every day. And we walk by people who are lost. And God's like, hey, him. And we don't, Andy Gump. Walking around. I don't know where I'm going, boss. I don't. Spiritually, I mean. You know, walking around. All these people, he's like, him, her. I don't pray with them. I'm scared of them. I don't want to pray. I don't know. I'm shy. I don't know the Bible. And God is saying, that's why I came. So if you're lost in any way, he wants to find you. That's what he came for. So the Bible says here, in verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, look, I give half my goods to the poor. If I've ever ripped anybody off, which is what he did for a living, I'm going to give everything back fourfold. You know what the Bible calls that? Repenting. I want to see God. I'm going to make an effort to see God. When he calls me, I'm going to respond. And when I meet him, I'm going to repent. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart, and he starts to love you and encourage you, guess what happens? You repent. You go, man, I've been a jerk, huh? Yeah, but that's okay. We can fix that. Man, I've been lying. We can fix that. God wants to help you repent to change. In a minute, we're going to pray. You're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord Jesus, I'm like Zacchaeus. I'm looking from the outside, and I think I want you to touch my life. And he's going to call you out of the tree. Let's go. Come out of your tree. You look like an idiot up there. Come on down. And you need to come out of your tree, invite him to your house, and repent. Dear God, I want to change. It doesn't say that Jesus jammed him up about his stealing. It doesn't say he didn't either. But let's assume that Jesus just hung out, loved on him and his friends. Everybody was jealous. And Zacchaeus realized, you know what? I'm a crook. Dear God, I'm going to repent. If I've ever ripped anybody off, I'm going to pay him four times. Doesn't say Jesus told him that. And I don't believe Jesus did. I think Jesus loved him, and he realized he was wrong. You have to say, Lord, one or two things. I need to be saved. Please forgive me because I can't do it on my own. Or I'm saved, and God, I've been playing games with you, huh? I need to get serious. I really, 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 really want to experience more of you. Me, I know that what I experience with God, and I have woos daily. I have woos daily. I want more. I'm like, come on, God, give me more. That means you're a greedy sucker. I'm greedy, God. I'm greedy. Call me greedy McGreedy Smiscreedy. I want all that I can get. Okay, I'm going to give you all you get. But you remember, there's pain in Wu land. There's sacrifice and discipline required in Wu land. Okay, God, hold up on that one. God, I want whatever. You have to want that. So remember, we're going to pray, and you have to say, God, today's my day. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Look at verse 10, and we'll end with that. Verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Lord, we thank you. Your mission is clear. We thank you for being faithful. We thank you for being good. Jesus, I pray that you would indeed bless us. And I pray for the people here today that need to get out of their tree. In a minute, we're going to pray. Two kinds of people. One, some of you in here believe that you need salvation, forgiveness. You need Jesus to forgive you of your sin that you may be born again. We're going to give you an opportunity to pray. If your heart is pounding,
and you're nervous right now, that's probably you. That's a good thing. But there are some of you in here who have been walking with God for a long time, and you need to take it to another level. Don't get comfortable. We're going to ask you to pray the same prayer with us. So eyes closed, heads bowed, pray this prayer with me if you would like to get out of your tree. Pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. My sin keeps me from you, prevents me from experiencing your love. I believe you died and rose from the dead for my sin. Dear Jesus, please forgive me. Cleanse me. I want to get out of my tree. I want to see you and experience your love like never before. Please cleanse me of my sin. Accept me as your child. Take over my life. Thank you, Lord. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer for salvation or to recommit your life, for whatever reason, right now I'm just going to ask you, eyes closed, heads bowed, just stand up in your seat. Right where you're at, just stand up. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless all of you, many of you. God bless you. Good. As I said before, if your heart's pounding, stay standing, please. If your heart's pounding and you're sweating and you're scared to get up, that means you need to get up. Don't let the devil trick you to do it tomorrow, because tomorrow never happens. Today, tomorrow is Monday. Tomorrow will be Tuesday. That means when tomorrow comes, it ends up being today. That means it never comes. That's why here you are 20, 30 years later saying tomorrow. Stand up in your seat. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. God has called you, and he wants you to respond. God bless you. Stay standing, everybody. Good. God bless you. Very good. Anybody else? God bless you. Good, good. Now we're going to ask all you who are standing to do one more thing. God bless you. Very good. As we welcome you to the family of God, we want you to step out of your seat and come down here and shake my hand right now. Let's give him a hand. Come on down here. Come shake my hand. Come on. It's okay. Come on. Stay right there, dimples. You can face this way. Just, there you go. No, this way. There you go. There you go. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just line up right across the front. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good, good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come shake my hand. God bless you. Good, good. God bless you. 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 Okay. Amen. Come on, come on. Let's encourage him. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right there. Stay right there. Come on. Who didn't I get? God bless you. Good, 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 good. Good, good. Good. I get you. Amen, amen, amen. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. The Bible says if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. Not only does he say, I won't remember it anymore, but I'm going to change your heart. So you don't have to do it again. That's good news. Nobody can do that. Drugs make you forget it, but it's still there. God will forgive you and make you forget it and change you. Amen? Amen? Two things. After I pray, I'm going to ask half of y'all to go over there underneath that prayer available here sign. And half of y'all, this half, you're going to go underneath that sign. We're going to give you something. I'm going to ask y'all if y'all can let me get down the aisle so I can run out of here and get to the door and shake your hand. The rest of y'all, bring somebody next week that needs to be saved. Amen? Let's all bow our heads and pray for these people. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for these people. We thank you for what you're going to do in their life. We thank you for allowing them
to go through what they've been through to get them to this point. And we pray that you bless them tremendously. Lord, may we have an amazing week. May we look for miracles and trust in your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If I could split all y'all in half, walk that way, and just follow the usher.